Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Welcome aboard. Thanks for tuning in to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Good to be with you. Ted Ross controls, and we're looking forward to a great hour today, Ted. Kind of free medical checkup today. So,
yeah.
Do you have a favorite doctor? A joke, doctor, it hurts when I do this.
Well, yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah,
sure. Okay. And that's probably the only one I think I know. I can tell. We're going to, in fact, open up the phone lines here right away for our conversation because we have a board-certified internist and pediatrician joining us today. She is also a member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Looking forward to getting into a conversation about health and wellness and vaccinations, all those kinds of things.
We want actual medical questions, not your doctor jokes.
Conversation
today.
Although, you know, if you have a good one, I mean, we're always open. So I do want to say, by the way, we just had a great lineup of guests for the last few weeks yesterday with Ruth Haley Barton. If you missed that, I encourage you to check it out online at myfaithradio.com. We post the interviews up there, and they're easy to access. Just kind of click on the link, and you can play them again or hear the highlight or pass them on to a friend. And today's will be that way as well. So if you missed part of the conversation or want to pass it on, you can do that. And a reminder, when you go to myfaithradio.com, you'll see an opportunity to partner with us with the FEBC. That's Far East Broadcasting Company. They broadcast to millions of people across the Asia-Pacific Rim. And they are strategically placing solar-powered and battery-operated radios into the hands of those who don't have access, ready access to God's Word or church. And these radios are being multiplied in their use in amazing ways where dozens listen to one radio. The gospel is going out, and for your gift of $30, you place a radio into the hands of someone who will use to hear God's Word. And it's a very effective way. We've so far over this past month and just a little bit during June and now just over into July, I think we're wrapping it up here this week. But I think nearly, 270 radios.
Great. Wow, fantastic.
So, great response.
Maybe we can get over that 300 mark here on this last day that we're soliciting for this.
That'd be wonderful if you are able to help us out with that, a gift of $30. So, you know, maybe it's $300 to send a number of radios. They're hand-delivered by the FEBC and the local ministry staff. So it's a great opportunity. You can get details online, myfaithradio.com. Let me welcome today's guest. Dr. Julie Griffin is an internist and a pediatrician serving in rural Kansas, Baxter Springs. And she's has a master's in public health. She graduated from the University of Kansas School of Medicine, completed her postgraduate education at the University of Kentucky, and has worked with the Global Health Outreach in Honduras prior to entering medical school. And we're honored to have her with us today. Dr. Griffin, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you so much, and a good morning to your listeners as well.
Just say a little bit about, you know, you're a doctor in a rural or a small community, right? How big is Baxter Springs?
Baxter Springs is about a community of 5,000 people, maybe even a little less if we try to look at it generously with the county numbers. Community Health Center of Southeast Kansas is the largest federally qualified health center in the state of Kansas. We've got 10 clinic sites across currently four counties, soon to be five, in the southeast area of our state. And I am the medical director for three of those counties. So population medicine, public health are very much my passion.
We want to get into some specific issues and concerns, but the whole area of healthcare, it's changing. Is it just changing in terms of regulation and paperwork, or is it? Are there lots of consolidations and changes in other ways?
You know, part of the exciting aspect of being a physician in this day and age is that it's changing, and we see very positive changes as well as some that are more concerning to us. I think the research and the technology, the things that we're able to do to save life, to bring health to people is phenomenal to be a part of, and to be kind of on the cutting edge of that as a young physician is very exciting. And when we think of some of the public policy issues and we look through things with our spiritual lens, there are some things that are concerning. And so we, you know, want to be proactive about those as well. And so really, it's just a very fast-moving time, and it's a blast to be a part of.
We're glad to have you with us today. By the way, we're going to talk child health, but also adult health issues as well. And if you have a question, we would welcome you to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. I want to talk, Dr. Griffin, first of all, about vaccinations. California recently passed a strict vaccination law. This issue is really hotly contested. Give us a little perspective. Why is this such a big issue?
Well, just a little bit of background. Earlier this year, many people know about the measles outbreak that happened in Disneyland. And what we saw is that from January 1st to June 26th, 178 people from 24 different states and the District of Columbia were reported to have measles. And so that was very concerning because a lot of it stemmed from the Disneyland area. And interestingly, what is postulated or what we've done some research to find out is that it is likely that someone who had traveled outside the United States came, was not vaccinated against measles, had active disease, and then just because that disease is so rapidly spread, that was the area or the location where the virus was able to infect other people, and being a highly traveled area, those people that had been infected went back to their home states. So I think that is a lot of the push that happened with SB 277. I think that a lot of my patients, when I have conversations in the exam rooms, feel like they don't want the government, or they don't want to lose those freedoms. And you know, having just celebrated the 4th of July, America is very much founded on individual freedoms, and appropriately so. You know, the Lord gives us a lot of freedom. He even gives us the freedom to choose Him or to reject Him in our lives. And so, I do very much appreciate the individual freedoms, those that believe very strongly that they want to rely on supernatural healing only. They don't want to rely on traditional or Western medicine. And so I definitely can appreciate that view. But I find that the Christian Medical and Dental Association, of which I'm a member and the Kansas State representative, I just want to leave a quote with your listeners today to kind of think about and process. And it says, CMDA, Christian Medical and Dental Association, acknowledges the right of an individual to refuse immunization except in extraordinary public health circumstances. This decision may be motivated by moral or religious convictions, known risk, misinformation, or fear. The Christian community needs to base its decisions on accurate information. Those who model their lives in imitation of Christ should reflect on their obligation to take personal risk for the good of others. CMDA supports the current scientific literature that validates the general practice of immunization as a safe, effective, and recommended procedure. And so I just want your listeners to understand there's a body of over 10,000 Christian physicians across the United States, and we as a collective group are encouraging people to really think about getting those 16 preventable diseases covered and protecting America's children from those.
Is it because we have there has been misinformation all along that has sort of built up this resistance? Because it doesn't seem like this was an area that was particularly strongly resisted, you know, a decade ago. Maybe it was. We just didn't hear about it.
Well, when we think, if you know, when we look at the polio vaccine, and we think back in the 40s and 50s when polio was just really taking children and causing the paralysis, people would just line up when they saw those polio vaccine clinics come by. And so we know that there was initially this excitement because people realized what would happen, and so many different families were being touched by that. They would go to the swimming pools and their kids would come back with high fevers and then suffer paralysis. In the 1950s when that vaccine came around, everybody wanted it. I think, unfortunately, any time someone and the British researcher that said, it's vaccines cause autism, and that just got incredible press because of exactly what CMDA attributes: miscommunication and fear. He has since been proven over and over to have shown to have falsified his records and his research and has been just terribly disgraced in the medical community. But because of the hype and the fear of having a child who has autism, and just seeing the struggles in the community and of celebrities that deal with family members that have autism, I think that fear gets propagated rather than just turning our heads and looking back at the evidence, which is what we as Christian physicians want to encourage your listeners and our patients to do.
There's an article in Christianity Today, I think maybe a month ago, about, you know, for the greater cause of love, that we should, you know, be lining up first to get vaccinization. And the writer was saying, hey, you know, this maybe really isn't all about our kids. I mean, it's that, you know, some of the motivation is, as you said, freedom is a part of it, but it's maybe we're missing a spiritual component to this.
Mm-hmm. And I think that CMDA recognizes that, you know, and it's kind of the idea, and, you know, we don't want to always compare apples and oranges, but the idea that if your children were in a carpool and everybody took turns, you know, each mom or dad was taking turns to take the neighborhood children, and then all of a sudden one family said, hey, I don't want to be a part of this. You're going to keep having that carpool regardless of whether I participate, but I do want my kid to have a seat. That probably wouldn't go over well in the neighborhood. And so each person needs to be, if we want that collective immunity, you know, in the scientific community called herd immunity, where if we get enough people protected, then those that really truly have medical issues and weakened immune systems that cannot receive the vaccines, those will continue to be protected. That is called herd immunity. But if everybody's trying to get a free seat on the carpool, but, you know, shirk their responsibility to take the neighborhood kids in that arrangement, you can see where that herd immunity begins to fall apart. And the other thing that I would, you know, propose for your listeners to think about is in the Bible in Mark, where Jesus says to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to the Lord what is the Lord's. And I think that balance is such an important part of our faith and our walk with the Lord, and that is to say, as a Christian physician, and I'm also a pastor, and I, you know, go and I pray with people at the altars for healing with them, knowing that they're my patient and taking the medicine I prescribe. But I think that there's balance. They're saying, Lord, I don't want to deal with the side effects of this vaccine, but I also don't want the disease. So I'm going to do what I feel you're leading me to do, and I'm going to respond to what the government, the Christian Medical Association, my personal pediatrician is telling me is healthy, but I'm going to leave it to you ultimately to be my great physician and just look to you. And I think that balance, and when we obey the Lord and respect our, you know, those in authority over us or who have knowledge, I think that we can feel more at ease about the idea of receiving vaccines.
Getting some good perspective from Dr. Julie Griffin, is board certified in internal medicine and pediatrics, practicing in Baxter Springs, Kansas, in southeast Kansas, directing the community health center there in that area, or overseeing several of the clinics and health centers in the southeast Kansas there. She has a degree from the University of Kansas School of Medicine, also has a master's in public health, joining us today on Connecting Faith. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Or if you want to drop us a note, maybe a question online, you can do that as well. It's myfaithradio.com is our website, myfaithradio.com. And you just click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link. You can send your question that way. We're going to talk about advances in medicine. We're going to get into some of the reports that show up every day, it seems like, in the news about, back away from the hamburgers. Should we be eating citrus? Is it okay to drink lots of water? All those kinds of things. How do we understand some of those questions? We'll get into, obesity and other things as well. Organic foods. You have some questions? Join us, 877-93-FAITH. Perspective on health, medicine, and wellness today with Dr. Julie Griffin, who is an internist and a pediatrician, is serving in southeastern Kansas, the community health center there, and has a master's in public health as well as a degree from the University of Kansas School of Medicine, postgraduate education at the University of Kentucky Chandler Medical School. She worked with the Global Health Outreach in Honduras prior to entering medical school. She's a member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. And talking healthcare today on Connecting Faith, 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. Julie, you mentioned some of the 16 diseases that we can be vaccinated for. Those are the big ones, right? Because some of those are making a comeback, aren't they? Maybe just review what they are and why it's so important to get protected from them.
There are 16 different vaccines that we currently have. Some can be combined so that the child might have one shot but actually have three vaccines within that one poke. But there are 16 different diseases that by the time a child is 19 years of age that they can be fully protected against. And we have seen a rise in different ones. We've also seen rates of decline. One of the more recent ones is the rotavirus, where every spring we would see just children with horrible dehydration, getting very, very ill. We would see worldwide lots of death from the rotavirus. Since we've had that vaccine in the past 10 to 15 years, we've just seen very, very low rates of rotavirus, and particularly here in the U.S., where we're able to vaccinate on a much more robust scale. However, in Washington and different areas that we've seen where people are resisting getting the vaccines, we are starting to see more of a bump in those rates, measles being probably the most notorious of that. We've also seen pertussis in my own area in rural Kansas, so a smaller town. The vaccine rates weren't as high as what public health officials would have liked to have seen, and we had a pertussis outbreak last year, and had to deal with that with the Kansas Department of Health and Environment and kind of get that under control. And so we've really worked in our school-based health clinics. Of which Community Health Center of Southeast Kansas, we manage those. And our staff have worked to increase those vaccine rates so that we're not seeing that again.
We, we are pretty confident in maybe our technology or a doctor's ability to take care of whatever problems come our way, right? So do we take these maybe a little too lightly? I mean, measles and pertussis, those are serious diseases, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, you bring up a very good point. And I go every year to Kenya, to Tenwick Hospital, and work in the pediatric department there. And every time I go, a child is dying of a vaccine-preventable disease. And I think once you watch a little, 4-year-old boy who is playing outside and got hit with a hoe while he was playing with his brothers, and the hoe was dirty, and so he had tetanus, and you watch these horrendous spasms and don't have the equipment to be able to save him because it went straight to his brain. Even in the U.S., the case is to be made that his disease was too far gone, and you watch that and you think, my goodness, if only, you know, we had been able to prevent that. There would have been no reason for him to get that. And so you're very right that we haven't seen firsthand the complications, both, you know, in terms of sickness and in death, that these diseases cause. And so we do take it more lightly. You know, another perspective would be pertussis and the whooping cough. You know, adults and older kids, if they get it, they typically can tolerate it. Well, you can't get that vaccine until you're 2 months of age. And so, you know, I remember in medical school and my pediatrics rotation went very early on, seeing a little six-week-old baby on a ventilator fighting for his life because he wasn't able to get the vaccine, and someone had unfortunately carried the virus to him, and so the pertussis to him. And so that, too, makes us, you know, want to not only protect ourselves but to be others-focused in terms of getting our vaccines. And as you mentioned in the article that you read, let's be part of protecting others and look at it from, you know, that sacrificial perspective that Christ had in terms of protecting others.
You know, we got a couple minutes before a break. I was just curious, you know, we hear some reports about antibiotics particularly, and that, you know, viruses are pretty clever at finding ways to sort of mutate. So are viruses advancing just as our medicines advancing, getting smarter than our cures?
There is a case to be made for, you know, both viruses and bacteria to be mutating. And very much, you know, my generation of physicians is being taught to use antibiotics on a more conservative basis. I think from the time when penicillin first came out and then we had all these different classes, we realized how well they worked, and so we used them perhaps overmuch. And so now we're beginning to scale that back because we are seeing some very resistant organisms develop. They're called multi-drug-resistant organisms, and they can be quite deadly in the wrong setting. And the same for viruses. You know, think of the HIV virus that mutates, and so you have to check for the resistance for people with that. Influenza, same thing. So we do just want to be wise in the way that we both prevent disease and treat disease. And there again, we speak to the word balance and having that conversation with someone that you very much trust. Hopefully you can find a physician or medical care provider to have that conversation with.
One of the challenges of today's modern medicine too, as well, just is, you know, finding time to talk with a provider. They've got deadlines to keep and the schedules to go and the paperwork to fill out, all those things. We'll talk more about that and more with Dr. Julie Griffin, who's a member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. As she mentioned, she travels to Kenya each year to provide important health care in the areas of need. She also works with the community health centers in Southeast Kansas, working in the rural part of Kansas in Baxter Springs, where she's an internist and a pediatrician there. And joining us today on Connecting Faith, we'll talk about wellness, medicine, take your healthcare questions as well. Talking beyond vaccinations, we want to get into areas of the daily health reports that seem to come out every day and what we should do or shouldn't do and how do we kind of keep that all straight. And we get into sunscreen and even recruiting doctors for rural areas. You can brag on your doctor if you want. It's 877-933-2484. Love to have you join the conversation. It's 877-933-2484 or online. You can send your email question in at myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. Joke sometimes some years ago, my wife, doctor told my wife, says, you know, Sherry, I don't like the way your husband looks. She says, well, I know, but he's good with the kids. So anyway, that's all right. Yeah, it wasn't that good. Dr. Julie Griffin, is bringing some wisdom to our conversation today. Board certified in internal medicine and pediatrics, and practices in Baxter Springs, Kansas, southeastern Kansas, there with the Community Health Center. She's a member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association, also worked with Global Health Outreach in Honduras prior to entering medical school. If, by the way, cmda.org is a good resource if you're in the medical field. I encourage you to just check that out, and even not, you'll find some good links to a variety of issues. We have Dr. David Stevens on regularly on the morning show with Austin every other week, and it's a good appointment listening as well. We've got an appointment with the doctor today as we talk health care, and one of our listeners, Brett, had called in and said, you know, God made us in his image and made us with the creative insights to develop these vaccines and other medical developments, and I'm sure you've seen that, doctor, in terms of the advances in medicine that, you know, God has really gifted some people in the ability to create and advance the cause of healthcare.
Absolutely. And I am so thankful that Brett has been connecting with this conversation, because we do want to draw people in and have a conversation. And as Brett is doing, point to the Lord through all of this. And, you know, the human body amazes me. And we have a creator that loves each one of us and has created each one of us individually and has a plan and purpose for each one of our lives. And part of living a healthy lifestyle and being active and eating nutritious foods is honoring him and his creativity to live out that plan and purpose. And, you know, from the hospital to the clinic, even the cry of a newborn baby with all the promise that there is in that young life, just there are so many miracles that I get to watch on a daily basis when we think of the fact that we cannot create life, only the Lord can bring life. And so, absolutely, Brett, thank you for that comment. That is very well spoken.
I'm sure as you've, you know, the more you've been in medicine and you see just the amazing design that God is, I mean, in terms of our immune system and the ways that our bodies are really capable of entering into, keeping us healthy. It's not all up to you and the couple of pills, is it?
Absolutely. I mean, even from, you know, having the immune system, you know, I learned in medical school that so much of our immune system is in our gastrointestinal tract, from our, you know, from the top to the bottom of where we enter food and where it exits. There's a huge part of our immune system there. Not many people may realize that. Same thing with our skin and how it's multiple different layers serve as a barrier so that when we do get cut, that we don't just immediately have an assault against our immune system. The skin is there to protect us. So just lots of different ways that the Lord continues to provide and protect us, even in ways that we may not recognize on a daily basis.
Let's we thank God for the way that he's made us. But let's talk about maybe ways that we can protect ourselves and our family. I was thinking even here in the summertime, we're enjoying beautiful July day. Maybe just say a word about sunscreen and sort of the long-term health protection for a family. And, if it's not immediate, I suppose it's just like, you know, brushing our teeth. You know, it's not going to affect us today if we don't do it, but long-term, it's going to be a problem. Maybe talk about some long-term health prevention areas.
Absolutely. Particularly when people are outdoors, the things that we in the medical community just want to emphasize are sunscreen use, frequent application for those that are going to be out for extended periods of time. Oftentimes those bottles will stay waterproof, but if you're really in the water, you're active in the water, you're going to still want to apply that frequently. For those, particularly younger infants, babies can't regulate their body temperature as well as older toddlers and adults can. And so for little infants, you're going to want to make sure that you're keeping in tune with how they're looking, how they're acting, and that they're staying hydrated. It's not always best to put sunscreen on the very littlest ones, such as newborns up to about 6 months. And so if you can't find an infant-specific brand of sunscreen, it's always wise to keep them in long but very breathable clothes to keep their skin protected. Don't forget about hats. particularly in babies as well as children, and watch that hairline as well when they get wet, and the part in their hair might get sunburned. So,
in fact,
that's
I was
the sunscreen.
Telling Ted, a couple of my grandkids in their daycare, they get sunscreen goes right on the top of their head, right in that part, so they look a little funny when they come home, but they are protected, I guess, anyway. You mentioned, just about hydration. There's a report out not too long ago suggesting that aggressive drinking of water to avoid dehydration is unnecessary and dangerous. We get reports out just about every day. I have my Google News page. I've got a health section there, and there's, it's four or five stories every day that are the latest reports. How do we, I guess, interpret all those reports?
Well, a lot of that in each report is going to have a different variable, but a lot of that has to do with how much water we have, which is pure water in our system and that we would be drinking relative to what are called solutes, and those are the salts and electrolytes in our blood. And when we're drinking pure water, we're not adding the salts to our blood that we are sweating out. So many people know that salt tastes very sweaty. It's got a lot of sodium in it. So that's why things like Powerade and Gatorade, those kind of sports drinks, were created to replenish the salts in the blood. So people that are sweating quite a bit and losing the salt through the sweating process to cool off, that's the body's natural air conditioning. People that are replenishing the water volume but not the solute load, that's where they're going to get into trouble. In general, that is those reports are kind of about fewer people than the general population, and so that's kind of why they make the news. So just making sure that if you're out in the sun, particularly those I see a lot of construction workers, roofers, different people that are going to be outside with their manual labor jobs, want to make sure that they're drinking lots of water, but also that in between there that they're adding those solutes in from the different sport drinks.
Yeah. So actually even like a salt tablet or something?
You could. There are different ways to do that. But it really, the body will kind of self-regulate. And if you're feeling, we treated somebody in clinic last week with heat exhaustion where he did get behind, and so he came to clinic and we were able to give him fluids. So, but your body should start giving you warning signs. If your heart's beating really fast, doesn't calm down once you sit down, you're feeling very, very fatigued, very dizzy, these are all signs to that your body's telling you to seek medical treatment.
And is that kind of a general rule that your body will give you warning signs in a sort of a whole host of potential damaging areas?
Absolutely. The Lord has put in so many natural mechanisms to alert us, just like a simple cough. People often want a cough suppressant. They want to make the cough go away. Well, the cough is designed to tell us that there's something in the lung or in the respiratory tract that shouldn't be there. And so we don't want to just make the symptom go away. We want to get down to the root cause and fix the actual problem that is causing the cough.
One of the other reports I saw about citrus consumption maybe linked to melanoma risk. It's another one. Do we get too much fruit? Again, you said these reports are about a sort of a narrow stripe of the population, perhaps.
Right, and with that particular study, and it was published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology, which is a very well-respected journal. But that being said, it was about 1,800 study participants had developed melanoma, but of the 64,000 nurses and 42,000 men in the health profession, that's not going to be representative of the general population. And so it would not be wise of us to radically reduce our citrus consumption or alter our diets based on this one study. We need to consider lots of different things. And so we want to kind of take things in stride and trust the medical community to be balancing the different information that they're gathering to make those recommendations for us. But even the American Society of Clinical Oncology called the findings intriguing, in quotes, but said that they were not going to go as far as to recommend any dietary changes as concerning grapefruits and oranges, which were particularly noted in the study.
How do you keep up with, I'm sure your patients come in all the time, say, doctor, I read this, I saw this, it was on TV. How do you kind of balance all that out and feel like you're keeping up with the latest advances?
Well, I kind of chuckle as I think about that. That's such a common question. And I would say very quickly that no one can know it all. And so if you're going to a physician that is, that's not able to say, I don't know, at some point during the day, that may not be, the one I would go to. Sometimes I just have to tell my patients, you know what, I need to do a little bit of research. And I don't know that particular nutritional supplement. If you can get me some more information, I'll be able to make a recommendation. It's the same about the Christian faith as it is in medicine, and that is we have to be hungry for more. And so just as I have a hunger to read God's word and to learn from him, I also have a hunger to serve my patients the best I can. And so I get emails in from very respected journals. I read excerpts, and as I need to incorporate more in my practice, then I go to those articles. I attend different classes. I'm very thankful the Christian Medical Association has some conferences where I can get those credits, and they're phenomenal. They're also able to help our different American missionaries across the globe stay up. And so there are many different ways, and if we just look for them and keep it a priority to be on cutting edge.
One of the areas that we've seen growing concern about, and I'm sure you do as well as a pediatrician but also an internist, is the area of obesity, whether it's childhood or adult. Talk about maybe what you advise for parents and maybe grandparents to help our children and grandchildren maintain good health, especially here during the summer.
Mm-hmm. It is such a difficult issue because it's such a personal issue. And I think that our culture really highlights what people look like. And so it can become something that we want to make sure that people are doing it for their health and to protect their, how long they're going to live. And know that this isn't your doctor saying this just for cosmetic reasons or so you look good in your school picture or, walking around town. With obesity in children, typically we do not want them to focus on a diet. We want them to become much more active, to reduce screen time, and that includes any type of device, whether it's gaming, whether it's television, whether it's tablets or phones. You need to put those down, limit them to about 30 minutes or less a day, and get the kids out. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends 60 minutes of active time at least per day. And that's really what I see. It's hard for both adults and children to lose weight without being active. And it can be hard because we want to say that running around town doing our errands is activity, but it just doesn't qualify. And so we really need to make concerted time, even if it's for 20 minutes as a start or 10 minutes as a start. Start where you can and make changes, and small changes will grow into bigger ones in time. That has been proven over and over. It's the same for adults as well as for kids. Sub-goals. Divide out what you want to do and start in manageable pieces. And that's really going to be the way to combat obesity, which is, between being overweight and obesity, over two-thirds of our country has a weight problem. And so you're not alone, and the healthcare professionals are here to help.
Dr. Julie Griffin, a healthcare professional, is here to help us today on Connecting Faith. She's an internist and a pediatrician serving in the southeastern Kansas area, Baxter Springs, with the Community Health Center in the southeast Kansas. And joining us today, we're talking health and wellness. We'll get to some discussions about foods, organic foods, those things as well. Maybe a little bit about recruiting doctors, rural areas as well. If you have a question or a comment, we've been talking about vaccinations as well. We'll get to some of those questions coming up here in just a moment. 877-9-
I'm talking about
vaccination. wonder if Dr. Griffin runs that soundtrack, you know, when they're on shot day, right? So maybe it's
sure. Get her in the mood.
Sure.
Let's go.
Dr. Julie Griffin is my guest today. She's a member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. By the way, you can find out more about that great organization, cmda.org. She also serves as an internist and a pediatrician with the Community Health Center in Southeast Kansas, overseeing several of those, and works in Baxter Springs, where she practices medicine. Joining us today, we've got a couple of listener questions or comments, I guess. Chris in Minneapolis, Julie asked if you could talk a little about, are there negative side effects of vaccinations? So maybe just address that, because people want to know.
Yes, Chris, there are, and we want to be very forthcoming about some of those. We do see with some of them that the children will develop a fever, usually not too high. It's usually not going to be above 101, but they might get with, you know, an elevated temperature. With some of the live vaccines, they cannot get sick from those. But an example would be the varicella vaccine or the chickenpox vaccine. We can sometimes see the kids develop the little blisters. That is often a sign that the vaccine is taking. And so whereas parents are afraid that they're getting the disease or that the vaccine is not working, that is actually evidence of the opposite, and that it is doing exactly what it was is supposed to do. Every time you or your child gets a vaccine, the office should give you a vaccine information sheet. That's law, required by law, and those both what your child is being protected from through that vaccine, as well as what any potential side effect from that vaccine, all of that would be listed on that vaccine information sheet. So just remember to ask for those and make sure you read those over anytime a vaccine is involved in a visit.
Say a little bit more about, you talked about herd immunity. That is there a sort of a like a percentage or a level if enough people are protected from a disease that even those that may be susceptible, does it mean that it becomes less potent for those that might get it?
So herd immunity means that if a certain percentage, and that number is just is going to vary from disease to disease process. I can't really give any one number. But what it means is that if a certain number of people in a population, if the majority of the people have a vaccination, an example being we talked about pertussis in the infants younger than 2 months that haven't had any vaccine. If the rest of us have gotten that vaccine and nobody is carrying the pertussis disease, then we as adults and other members of the community are inherently protecting those little ones that can't or haven't gotten the vaccine yet. Yeah. And so that is the difference of herd immunity, is that when you have enough people that are vaccinated, we inherently protect those or children with cancer that or grandma and grandpa that are on chemotherapy. We are protecting them because their immune systems aren't at the natural level of being able to protect themselves.
Gotcha. Yeah. So if you're going to visit your grandkids, make sure you got all your vaccinations up to date. Anyway, say a word about organic foods. And it seems like there's been I don't know if those are related, but the increase in food allergies or allergies in general. Are you seeing an increase in food allergies or maybe just allergies in general?
You know, that's such a broad category to bring up the idea of food allergies. And, you know, there's lots of information that goes back and forth about organic foods. And I would tell you that, and I've done lots of research on this, both for my personal life as well as professional. I think that the Environmental Working Group has a list of, I think it's called the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. And, you know, organic foods, the cost is so much higher. And really what I work with a lot of patients in poverty, and I'm just trying to encourage them to get their fruits and veggies. If you can't afford the organic, don't worry about it. Just get your fruits and veggies in at all. And if you have the discretionary income to be able to afford organic, I would be very honest and tell my patients and your listeners as well, I don't know that you always get the stated benefit of what is advertised when it comes to organic foods, but at the bare minimum, get your fruits and veggies.
Okay. We'll let it go at that. Michael in Sioux Falls had a question. Does Dr. Griffin have any recommendations for treating a candida overgrowth? He's been dealing with it for about 4 years.
Yes, and that would be a very frustrating situation, as I've had patients that deal with that. It kind of depends, Michael, in terms of where you're dealing with the candida overgrowth. You know, my training is much more in allopathic or traditional Western medicine as opposed to like naturopathic medicine or alternative medicine, as it's sometimes called. So from my perspective, there might be some medications that we need to try and definitely some lab work to make sure that your immune system functioning is the way that it should. And so I would encourage you to go on cmda.org. There are lots of resources for patients. One of them is to find a Christian physician. And that might be something just to get a second opinion that would be warranted in your situation, but it's cmda.org, and just look for the link to find a Christian physician in your area.
Well, speaking of finding physicians, say a word about, you chose to work in a rural area where there's, higher levels of poverty. That's kind of a challenge for a lot of small towns, right, to keep doctors, to recruit doctors. So what's happening in that field?
Right. As I did my master's in public health, my focus is on physician recruitment and retention in rural areas, because we do have a lot of poverty in the rural areas. The counties where I work are the poorest and least healthy in the state of Kansas, and so it can be very taxing on a daily basis. However, I went into it. I felt very called to this area. I love international missions. I go every year, and I contribute to missionaries. But for me, this is my mission every day. This is where God has for me, and I'm able to pray with patients. And so, I think sometimes we need to broaden up our ideas about missions. Missions is not where you're at. Missions is who you are, and it's the person in front of you. And so, for those of you living in rural areas, do try the CMDA website and see if there's a Christian physician you can connect with. And for those of you that that know physicians or healthcare providers, lots of physician extenders coming into the field, which we're very happy to work with, encourage them to consider a rural area and to look at it not just as a place or geographic solution to getting debts paid off or to helping people, but to consider it as a ministry, because it really is. And I couldn't think of anything that would make me happier right now.
Where tomorrow our conversation is going to be on trust, the cost of trust in sort of business and life. And that's really kind of at the heart of the doctor-patient relationship, isn't it? It's all about, having that trust connection, right?
It is, and it is such a, in Christian Medical Association, we don't just use, the word relationship. We call it a covenant relationship, because we just want there to be such openness between the provider and the patient. And I think for my patients, as we're going through difficult diagnoses of cancer or other things, they are so reassured knowing that not only am I doing my best in the gifts and talents God has given me, but I'm looking to the Lord. I think that they can put their trust not in me, but in the Lord, and know that I'm just the vector of His hands extended here on earth.
Well, Dr. Griffin, blessings to you, and pray for wisdom and strength and health as you carry on this important work in southeastern Kansas, and as you have traveled, opportunity to travel overseas. And just a reminder again that God has given us, created us with great bodies and immune systems, and we want to do all we can to be good stewards of that. Dr. Julie Griffin, internist and pediatrician serving with the Community Health Center in southeast Kansas, serving in Baxter Springs. It was great to visit with you today, Julie, and wish you a good summer ahead.
Many thanks to you all as well.
And if you want to find out a little bit more about some of the resources and links available to maybe find a physician in your area, or if you're in the medical profession, you want to get plugged in with the great work of Christian Medical and Dental Association, go to cmda.org. That's cmda.org. And just as a reminder, you hear Dr. David Stevens regularly I think it's Tuesday mornings on the Austin Hills, the morning show here on Faith Radio. So make a point to listen to that as well, about 7:10. And you can catch this broadcast if you missed part of it. You can listen to it again online. We post the interviews online at the end of the show. It's at myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. It's myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith, and thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. For more information about this show or our other audio available online, you can visit our Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com.